Welcome to the SourceCon Meet the Speaker series. In this series, we'll be getting to know the speakers for the upcoming SourceCon conference in Seattle. If you or your team are looking for the latest techniques to identify, engage, and recruit potential job candidates, be sure to join us at the West in Seattle on March 24th and 25th. Visit SourceCon.com for more information.
Hello, everybody. This is Jeremy Roberts with SourceCon. We are excited to be here today with Jim Durbin. Jim Durbin is one of the speakers for the upcoming SourceCon conference in Seattle. Jim, welcome. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Well, excellent. Well, Jim is a recruiter. If you're online, you've inevitably come across a conversation that he's commented on or heard him on other radio shows or read something he's written. Jim, tell us where people can find you online, just in case people are wondering.
Best place is probably socialmediaheadhunter.com or Twitter, SMHeadhunter.
All right, so that's SMHeadhunter. So he is known as the social media headhunter. Now, Jim, tell us, everybody in recruiting, or I don't want to say everyone, there might be a few people who have wanted to be recruiters for a long time, but most of us kind of stumble into it. Tell us about your path and how you became a recruiter.
Well, my first real job was calling, trying to sell vacation incentive sales in Florida. And I moved to California to do something else, and that didn't work out. So I was looking for a job, and I actually went to Monster, and I looked for jobs with my sales background. And the two people that called me were, what was that, is Labor Ready, and then a company that was a tech systems clone called Natural Data. So I went to interview with both firms, and Natural Data was, I mean, they laid out what IT staffing was, how I was going to get into it. It sounded cool. They only made 60 calls a day instead of 120, so I figured that was easy. So that was in August 1999, and I've been in it ever since.
Excellent. Now,
got
when
in
you
my blood.
Now, I remember you saying something about this in the past, but you were already a blogger at that point, right?
I was reading. I didn't really start writing until 2002. So in my second job, I started realizing after 9/11, the company shut down. I moved back to St. Louis, and shortly after that, started writing personal blogs. And they grew so big so fast, I was like, wow, what if I talk about my job? And I started doing that, and that was right when recruiting.com started, and they picked me up really quickly. So, you know, we were right at the beginning. There were only about 100 of us at first, but inside of 2 years, there were thousands of recruiting bloggers that were in place. So I got to write about it, and I used it for my job. And then ultimately, that led me more into marketing, and now it's kind of a mix of both.
Excellent. Now, explain your role right now in recruiting. Obviously, you know, SourceCon listeners come from a lot of backgrounds. In the conference itself, we have people from agencies, corporate recruiters, sourcers, pretty much the whole gamut, RPO employees. So explain what your current role is in recruiting.
I have a search firm. I have a digital marketing search firm that do retain the contingent placement. So it's a full desk that I run. I also have a marketing firm. My wife is a web designer. We have contractors who do things like email and others. So I actually run that on a full-time basis and go out and market and consult, but then I also do a full desk because, you know, you either find the people or you do the work is kind of the way I look at it. And then on the side, I often get called to train people on how to, you know, basically use social media to recruit. So I think I'm over 7,000 people now that I've trained since I started. So it's the three different roles. All doing the same thing, building lists of people and calling them.
So digital marketing search firms. So what are the types of, you know, roles that you recruit for? What are the titles?
Directors of social media, email, website design. Basically, if you're digital native, if you deal with content and analytics, and you're trying to determine how to pitch a message to a group of people and then integrate that into a company's larger brand, that's the role. And I focus on manager up to VP, basically people in the 1 to 180K role. There's just a giant gap for them, and I've done it. So you know how they always say they want you to have done it? I've done it. So when I'm calling a candidate, it's a peer-to-peer discussion, and I'm able to figure out who can do it and who's posing.
Excellent. Now, I guess, you know, you're more technical than most because you do have this digital marketing background, and a lot of those tools can be used to source. So what are some sourcing techniques and tools that you couldn't live without? I guess, what are your favorite few things that you do?
My favorite is still LinkedIn, not just inside of it, but I like to treat LinkedIn as a hub. because somebody from some company is sitting on LinkedIn, and once I have one person who's done the job, I can then expand out to their entire social network. So I start at LinkedIn. It doesn't matter if they're friends of the candidate I find eventually on it. What matters is I start there and kind of expand outward. So that's my favorite tool. And then, of course, the others is everybody else's is I'm really loving ConnectiFire and Profit because they give me extra sourcing tools I can go dig after. And since I do a perm stuff, I'm all about digging up names and adding people to social channels. So when I explore different people, I have found it leads both to sales and to candidate roles. I mean, it brings me to places. Coming up third is this About Me. I'm just fascinated with how much is on there, how fast that network's grown, and how few people are on it. So it's definitely a different kind of if I were doing international searching, About.me would be awesome. And if I were doing just contract staffing, I think I'd dig in with Dice and Dice Open Web.
Mm-hmm.
When I need to post something and do IT fast, that's where I jump to it. So it's
About.me.
It depends on what I was searching for.
Yeah. Well, About.me would be great, I guess, for what you do as well. There are a lot of marketing people, a lot of digital people who put their portfolio links up there and everything. So that's probably a great place for you. It's very visual, too. So it kind of attracts those.
Oh, very, very visual. You can tell how much they're serious. And when you contact someone from there and you've got your own profile, it's a different conversation than LinkedIn or Creative Hot List or even the phone.
Mm-hmm.
If they see you as one of them, they like you a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not true for recruiting.
Well, now, if you could change one thing about recruiting, what would it be?
I think it would be the relationships we have with candidates. I think that with the recession that happened and all the millennials that are on board now, so many of them in the workforce, I feel like we have done a very poor job of teaching them about what the hiring process is. Many of them didn't work when they were younger. You know, they weren't working at 16 at Burger King like so many of us. So there's a general lack of how things are supposed to be done, just in general. And I feel like we have really failed them in explaining what the long-term implications of taking jobs as they are. You know, the old story is if you have somebody who's done 5 years experience or 5 years, doing the 5 1-year of the same experience, you know, they look the same on paper, but they're completely different roles. I don't think we've done a good job explaining that. I'd love to get candidates to understand when we call, what's in it for them. Because right now they don't know that. They don't have a sense of – they haven't thought about their job search yet. You know, I think it's a typical role for people who are younger. I certainly didn't know when I was 30, but there's so many more of them than there were of us. I think that makes an impact on us overall.
Absolutely. Now – if you could create a sourcing or recruiting tool, what would that be?
I would like something that I could plug into my phone to tell if someone was lying to me. That's what I want. I want a human lie detector in my phone that would warn me that I need to ask a better question.
Right.
So I could figure out when the client or the candidate was doing it. Yeah, if that didn't work, I'd like something that would tell me if they were paying attention or looking at something else. So,
yeah, you could shut down their, take over their screen when they answer your
call. Attention?
Right, absolutely. What do you think the biggest lie that candidates I guess we'll start with candidates. What do you think the biggest lie candidates tell recruiters is?
I'm really interested in your job, and I promise I'll call back. That's probably the biggest one.
Right.
Texting has been really bad for that. It just makes it so easy to avoid people.
Absolutely. What about hiring managers?
I have the authority to make this decision right now.
Very seldom do they.
There's
actually
a lot of.
That.
I mean, those are general, but there's so much risk dispersal going on there. I've talked to senior executives who should be able to write a check without thinking about it, and even they are taking the time to check with everybody. And the problem is, the more you do that, the more. You know, the more hurdles you put up in front of it. And the longer you take, candidates don't have to sit around anymore. You take too long. So the more people you want them to talk to, the greater chance somebody does something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want them to take their jobs and say yes or no. I think that's one of the problems is there's a lot of distrust in the market right now. So I don't blame recruiters. I think it's just the market itself. But hiring managers are hurting. Candidates are hurting. I'd like to fix some of that.
Absolutely. Now, what are you most looking forward to at SourceCon?
I love to see people's generic reactions. You know, I was just at a conference here in Dallas, and it was fascinating because I didn't feel like it was a good conference, but everybody kind of agreed. They were on the same page. And that's an interesting and unique time in any market, because it means we all know what needs to be done. We just need to do it. You know, if there's a slowdown, it means we're in the fat part of the curve to make a lot of money. Sourcing is now, it's mature now. I don't think there are new rules that people need to find,
mm-hmm.
but actually doing what we need to be doing and then bringing it into the process. Finding 500 people is not the problem. The problem is, how do you connect to them? What do you do? And as you, it'd be interesting to see where people think they are. Do they think they need more tools to find more names? Do they need to work on process, or the roles changing? I mean, I hear a lot of you guys saying that calling and talking to people is part of the new sourcing job. And I think that's fascinating, because that's what a recruiter is technically is supposed to do. So if that's where everyone's going, it would mean there's a shift in the industry and a good reason for it. So I'm fascinated to see what the kind of the average is of people's opinions to know where we are as an industry.
That's a great point. Well, excellent. Well,
and
now
I
why
you people, because you guys are sourcers and I'm a recruiter, so even
well,
though
many
source...
of us, many of us. I mean, you know what? Actually, 70% of the people at SourceCon are actually recruiters who source, not people with a sourcer title.
Really?
So, yeah. So it's a pretty broad group. People go now to learn to source, not necessarily because they're sourcers. Which, you know, in the early days of SourceCon, it was people dedicated to name generation, trying to figure out how to do it better, you know, and we've kind of evolved
right,
over the years.
Right.
So, all right. Well, Jim, I appreciate your time. Is there anything, I guess, give us a little teaser about your session at SourceCon.
So I've done so much training where you work on a platform and you make it technology specific, because that's a branding that you have to do to get people to come pay for your training. And this time, for SourceCon, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to take live recs, and I'm going to pretend that I'm an agency person, I'm a sourcer, I'm an in-house person, I'm a hiring manager who's never done this before. So I'm going to go at it the way you would as if your role were different, because I think obviously what you're trying to get would be different. There's a speed factor. So like if you're contract staffing, you have to go very fast. If you are internal, you have to move fast, but you have more tools. So I'm going to show 4 live examples of searching for jobs using all the tools that you would use, but I'm going to do it role-specific rather than technology-specific. I think that should be fun.
Excellent. Well, very cool. Well, thank you for your time today, Jim. And everyone listening, please stay tuned. We're going to be sharing more updates from our speakers over the next few weeks so that you can get to know as many of them as possible before the event. If you have not registered, go to sourcecon.com/2015 to see the full agenda and register for the event. Have a great week, and we will talk with you soon.
Thank you, Jeremy.